So here's the paradox of pre-Katrina New Orleans. For its 10 million pie-eyed vacationers who trolled the sticky streets of the French Quarter year after year, the city was a pulsating, profit-making pleasure dome. For a few bucks, the city would happily serve up just about anything you could scarf down. Yet right across the Mississippi River, the Orleans Parish School Board was making the Department of Motor Vehicles look like a model of efficiency. A toxic swamp of fraud and incompetence, the school board was tilting on the edge of bankruptcy when Katrina wiped out much of the city, taking the bureaucracy with it. School choice swept in as a replacement, and 9 years later, test scores and graduation rates are on the rise. Minus the red tape and the teachers' union, public education is actually looking pretty sunny in the Big Easy. But can it really last? Maybe a school board that predates the Civil War doesn't just blow away in a gust of wind. Could the old bureaucracy really emerge from the dark swamp of inefficiency from which it sank? Reason TV went to New Orleans to find out.
People like autonomy in the abstract, but they get real nervous about it. If any one of 100 or 1,000 schools does something goofy, there's always a natural temptation to say, well, we're for autonomy, but let's have a rule that doesn't let you do X. And the point that Mike McShane and I made in this USA Today story is that the natural temptation to say, we're for autonomy so long as schools don't do X, over time tends to lend itself to one new rule being stacked upon one new regulation. And over the course of years, the idea that charter schools can make curricular and instructional and program decisions as they see fit tends to become more and more attenuated. At the end of the day, if you keep up long enough, you wind up with charter schools that don't necessarily look any different than the traditional district schools that they were supposed to challenge.
What we're trying to figure out in New Orleans, and we're the first city to ever have to tackle these questions, it's what's the tension between regulation and autonomy. And so we've totally decentralized educational programming. Educators on the ground get to make decisions about what they think is best for kids. And we've totally decentralized choice. Families get to pick what schools are right for them. Over the past 4 to 5 years, we've put in a bunch of regulations to help ensure that when you're going to choice, we also have equity. So we have a centralized enrollment system. We have a centralized expulsion system. Charter schools cannot just kick kids out.
This is how we wind up with the regulatory creep. The idea that you can distinguish choice from equity, I think, is a nifty rhetorical trick, but I'm not sure it's as simple as those folks you talk to would like it to be.
Although the size and scope of New Orleans' educational bureaucracy is a small fraction of what it used to be, the complex structure of public school governance remains a serious obstacle to continued reform. The challenge of navigating the city's tangled web of authorities while educating the city's 43,000 students is taken on by dedicated principals like Julie Laus of the Harriet Tubman Charter School in Algiers.
Well, I mean, it's very similar to a lot of other schools. Harriet Tubman was a failing school in 2011. Within 2 years, we moved it from failing to a C. The autonomy is the number one reason why I feel like I can make a difference here, right? So I have autonomy over my staff and my curriculum and my program and my schedule and the day and all that kind of stuff. If I didn't have that, I wouldn't be able to do anything.
The balance between regulation and autonomy came to a head over the issue of student discipline. Until last year, New Orleans charter schools set their own policies for disciplining unruly students. But when a few schools were found to have unusually high rates of expulsions, parents got angry.
Parents, teens, and activists speak out against what they call oppressive conditions at the charter schools. Complaints range from mass suspensions.
They would just call and say, we're suspending him, and we're going to send him home on a public RTA and give him a bus token.
The state was quick to intervene, taking control of all student disciplinary procedures in New Orleans. But later that year, Louisiana's own state investigation of school expulsions painted a very different picture. New Orleans has followed the national trend. In every year they've been measured, charter schools have lower rates of expelling students than traditional public schools elsewhere in the state. And by some measures, expulsions actually increased after the state took over the process of disciplining students. But if parents are unhappy with their school's expulsion policy, why are they protesting in the streets?
Why don't they just exercise their right to school choice and transfer their child to another school?
I've been trying to get her in another school to pull her out of here. That's hard because it's not so far in a school year that I can't just pull her out and put her somewhere else. I wish I could.
Because a new regulation enacted last year prevents students from transferring to another school after 6 weeks into the semester.
So we used to have a system where at any day in the school year, a child could transfer out. And what we found is that led to higher mobility rates. And you could also get into a tit versus tat of a kid gets a detention and then they pull out of the school. And that can be destabilizing towards the system of schools.
Believe me, there have been parents who've been at my school who really want to switch after 6 weeks, and I want to support them because they're so unhappy. The mid-year switches are not only stressful for kids and families, but they're stressful for schools. To get that many kids in the middle of the year coming from other schools, at some point we have to shut the enrollment process down and say, okay, we're done with enrollment for the year now. The next chance is next year. That does take away from some of our autonomy, but I think in the long run it's better for kids and for schools.
It's something we have to be very careful of. A system like this could be undermined by a death by 1,000 regulatory cuts. What makes me optimistic that that won't happen is, first, I think the political class is starting to understand why this system works, and I hope that that's getting ingrained in the DNA of who we are as a city. Second is you have a pretty big constituency at this point that I hope will fight for their rights.
Part of the challenge is, how do you say, look, these are reasonable regulations, but we don't want to go any further than this. Where do we stake out the no further than this? And I think this is where the charter community has not done as good a job as it should in New Orleans or anywhere else.
For anybody that's criticizing the public school system in New Orleans by saying, oh, you guys think you know everything. We don't. We're working hard at it in an imperfect system, but I am proud of where we are. I mean, 33% of the city passed tests at basic levels in 2004. And now it's 67. Just that growth has never been seen in the history of our country before. We're going to be the first mostly black city to outperform its mostly white state in the history of this country. So I think there's something significant about what's happening here. And we're not yet there. We're not yet perfect. We aren't an A school system yet, but I think we're on the way.